This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Russia backs down.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Natural gas is once again flowing from Russia into Ukraine. Thanks to a little old-fashioned political pressure, the U.S. wagged its finger at Moscow for cutting off Ukraine's supply. European countries had a few choice words as well. They get a lot of their natural gas through the pipelines in Ukraine. Russia still claims its neighbor is siphoning off some of that gas for itself. This whole thing started because Ukraine refused to pay higher prices. Iraqis are paying much higher gas prices than they're used to. There are long lines at the pump. There isn't enough electricity. Oil exports are way down. In short, Iraqis are having a rough time of it. As Ben Gilbert reports, they're the victims of sabotage.
After more than 2 years of U.S. reconstruction efforts, the 6 million Iraqis in Baghdad receive only 6 hours of electricity each day. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Commanding General William McCoy says the shortage is caused by sabotage on power lines in rural areas.
Without some sort of security on those lines, you're going to continue to have a problem inside Baghdad.
An attack knocked out one of Iraq's major oil pipelines in an area where Saddam Hussein used to pay tribes to protect the lines.
Today we're not doing that. They believe if they destroy the oil infrastructure, somebody will come out to fix it and they can blackmail them.
20% of project funding goes to security, General McCoy says. In Baghdad, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
In this country, computer security was one of the big stories of 2005. I should say the lack of it. From identity theft to lost corporate secrets, security breaches cost companies and individuals dearly. So this could be the year of an IT lockdown. Janet Babin reports from the Innovations Desk at WUNC.
At last count, companies around the world spent more than $169 billion battling computer security breaches. That according to the London firm Mitig. Yet in 2005, adware, spyware, and virus attacks became even more aggressive. Mark Rusinovich with Winternal Software predicts this will be the year corporations get serious about IT security.
Companies are going to be forced to put in place lockdowns so that their users of their business PCs won't be able to run programs that are not officially approved by the company policy.
Employees might not like the results. Stricter security could translate to no more video game downloads or photo edit programs on the work PC. But Rusinovich says companies have to protect personal and corporate data, even if workers find it inconvenient. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
If you work for a U.S. airline, you must be glad 2005 is over. This year can't possibly be any worse, can it? Well, so far the signals are mixed. Bankrupt Independence Air will take off for the last time Thursday. The carrier only survived a year and a half. 2,000 people will lose their jobs. But it looks like United Airlines could come out of bankruptcy next month. Creditors say they're okay with the company's plan. The markets are back in business today. Wall Street ended 2005 with a whimper, but investors, hey, they drink optimism for breakfast. In Asian trading, crude oil was up a bit to $61.33. In London, gold opened higher. You're listening to Marketplace. Drugs like Viagra have seen a sharp drop-off in prescriptions, but a study out this week might help. It found drugs designed to help erectile dysfunction improved memory in rats. Helen Palmer reports.
Drug expert Frank Palumbo of the University of Maryland says therapies like Viagra help blood flow more easily throughout the body.
The memory part, of course, is a bit of a surprise. You wouldn't think that a drug that has an effect on the blood vessels of the brain is necessarily going to improve memory.
Palumbo says there are few medications that help the more than 4.5 million Americans with Alzheimer's, so if the ED drugs work, they'd be welcome. But analyst Mark Rivera of Strategic Pharma warns it's hard to show convincingly in clinical trials that drugs do slow mental decline. Nevertheless, Rivera says drug companies would be pleased to find a new use for erectile dysfunction remedies.
With all of the investment that's been made in marketing and promotion, the returns have been diminishing year over year.
In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. India is one of the world's fastest growing economies, but its future is still very much controlled by its past. The 4,000-year-old Hindu caste hierarchy separates Indians by family and vocation. Millions are trapped in poverty because of it. Our own Miranda Kennedy is American-born but lives in New Delhi. It's been hard for her to realize that she, too, is caught in the caste system.
I live in a quiet, middle-class neighborhood near a little park, but mornings in my apartment are anything but peaceful. First, there's the newspaper delivery boy at 7 a.m.
Hello?
Shouting into the intercom in Hindi and trooping upstairs with the stack of papers. At 7:30, it's the grocery store boy with the liter of milk. It goes on like that. When I moved here 3 years ago, before I'd even unpacked my bags, a series of people showed up at the door asking for work. So now I employ a driver, a guard, a woman to wash the stairs, a gardener. Okay, before you think I'm an expat prima donna, you should know that in India, if you don't hire people, you're accused of denying them jobs. Because of the caste system, each person does only one kind of work. That's why I also have two maids. The first maid, Manish, is the kind of small I'd never seen before moving to India, shrunken from generations of malnutrition. I hired her specifically to clean out my cat's litter box every day. I used to do it myself, until one morning a neighbor stopped me and told me that everyone was talking about the foreign girl who carted bags of animal waste to the dump. I had to hire Manish because my second maid, Radha, refused to do it, because she's from the highest caste, the Brahmins. She cooks for me and washes all my clothes by hand, but draws the line at cat litter. Manish belongs to the lowest caste, called the Untouchables, because they traditionally clean toilets. So she'll do it. She also needs the money. Her total income is $35 a month. With that, she supports her husband and two sons. But this is where I get tangled up in a social order I don't agree with. When I wanted to double her salary to a whopping $2 a month, the other maid said that's too much to pay for that kind of person. Radha's at the top, so she's invested in maintaining the system. And she expects me to conform. Recently, when I gave Manish a sari that was almost as expensive as the one I gave Radha, Radha ranted at me in Hindi for weeks about how I'd degraded her. So I righted the social order by giving her an expensive box of candies. As I handed it to her, she smiled smugly, knowing I'd learned my lesson. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The Hispanic population of Dalton, Georgia.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.